Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, praise the Most High. Hey, it's the last one before I do my take with free bro. That's my heart. My rock, my shield, my fortress, my everlasting King. You gave me life, wanna thank you for this. You're the creator of every day, your everlasting mercy. Unto you do I sing, your laws and your commandments. I keep them close to me. Whoa, you divided the waters for your people. We the best at everything, but we still need you. You the one who punishes us when we do evil. Through the hell of tribulation, he won't leave you. Glory, glory, we give you glory, 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 we give you glory, 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 we give you glory, 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 we give you glory. You are my rock, my shield, my fortress, my everlasting King. You gave me life, wanna thank you for this. You're the creator of every day, your everlasting mercy. Unto you do I sing, your laws and your commandments. I keep them close to me. Whoa, you the one who sent that bread down from heaven. You went to war with many nations, you protect them. Came down as a fire on Mount Sinai, and it's still here to this day. Why should I lie? For a brief moment I abandoned you, but to bring you back with a deep compassion, what I plan to do. You disobeyed, I made you slaves, I was mad at you. Had to send my son to die for y'all, somebody had to. Glory, glory, we give you glory, 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 we give you glory. My rock, my shield, my fortress, my everlasting King. You gave me life, wanna thank you for this. You're the creator of every day, your everlasting mercy. Unto you do I sing, your laws and your commandments. I keep them close to me. Whoa.
All right, welcome, 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 everybody, to another episode of Waking Up Israel Radio Show. I'm your host, Michael Israel, and what we're about to do, we're about to dive right back in into these serious topics, y'all. If y'all been following the series, we've been kind of going, have these deep conversations about Paul and about the old covenant, about the body of Christ. You know, we're not getting along, right? If you able to hear these past shows, you see that there's an echo of the Hebrew community, the hatred and the vile language that's being used, you know, and that's you know, painting us a bad picture, and I kind of got to wear that weight on my shoulders in a way, not necessarily, but in a way. Kind of put me on a defensive a little bit, but we're all Israel talking, right? If you imagine if it's us saying these things and having these conversations, surely people of other nationalities are having these same conversations, maybe even a lot more, you know, vulgar, you know, about their opinion about the Hebrew Israelite awakening. So what I would like to do in starting off the show is kind of tell you a little bit about where I've come. Because I imagine if there are Hebrew Israelites that are listening and just kind of just, you know, want to, you know, hear everybody's positions and the subject matter, I want to kind of say a little bit about myself. I'm a truck driver by trade, and I've woken up that we're Hebrew Israelites, okay? I'm not a teacher, not at all. Me and Sister Dale, we kind of just put our beliefs on Waking Up Israel radio show. We just kind of put our beliefs out there on Blog Talk. You know, where are we at right now? And we understand that we don't all, you know, we ain't got it together, y'all. We were still lacking. We're still learning a bunch of things, all right? I do not subscribe. Let me back up a little bit. I do believe that Esau, the enemy in the Bible of Jacob, I believe that he is Caucasian in appearance. I do. Where I'm at right now in my learning, I believe that. However, though, what makes what I'm at right now different from what you may hear out there in the on the street corners or social media is that I don't believe that all Caucasians are Edomites, if that makes any sense to you. I don't believe they're all part of one giant family. And I don't believe everybody that's black is all part of the same family neither, nor is everybody yellow or red, okay? So if everybody's chopped up different families in their ethnicity or skin tone, surely the pale skin also is tribal like everybody else. So that is where what makes me a little different far as, you know, what you may hear on the street corners of social media as far as Edomites, okay? I believe that when we read the scriptures, Paul is evangelizing anyone he spoke to, including Edomites, including all types of people in that Europe area, in Asia, Iran, and everywhere else, okay? He is literally preaching the gospel. And the mission was the lost 10 tribes. That's how it started. And I was going to get into it later on in the show and the details of what it's all about. What is all the commotion all about, dealing with Paul's epistles and dealing with the with James and Peter and John and their epistles? I was hoping to shine a little light on that later on. So we're going to be hitting on several different topics, y'all. It's subject getting a little intense, and I just need y'all to hang on and kind of understand where I'm coming from, okay? Okay, so with all that being said, all right, let me go ahead and start opening up lines here. All right, Sister Dale, let me open up your line. You are on the air.
Okay, shalom, shalom to everyone, and I'm so glad to be here today and to listen to the fourth, I believe, of the series, the fourth conversations.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. All right, all right. Well, we love to have you on, Sister Dale, and like always, man, it's just a pleasure having you on. You really kind of bring that that light to the show, and I'm just glad to have you on, okay? All right.
Well,
and,
I appreciate that.
Okay. Okay.
Can I say
something else?
Can I say something else?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, you know I'm coming out of Christianity. I've been in Christian all my life, actually. I want to say that. So learning and waking up and getting more information, this has been a new journey for me. And so, I want to get as much information and learn more and more and get closer to my Savior and the Most High. I mean, you know, I've already, as a Christian coming out of a Christian church, we already have that personal relationship. You already have established that. And I know that we're going to get into a lot, and I'm just going to try to refrain from start talking now, but I'm excited, and I just want to hear it all. You know, there's nothing that's going to be in vain. And I address myself as the listeners. You may not be getting so many calls, and I can tell you the reason why. There's a lot of people out there. You know, there's a lot of people, and a lot of people are doing so many different things. And that's why I say that's millions and millions of people. Okay, so I believe that I would be just about the average person that didn't know much of anything, that's learning, hearing something new. The whole thing, I think, is about hearing. So, you know, you got to hear the word and then receive it. So I don't think that any word is going to go, it's going to be in vain. And I'm excited, and I'm waiting, and I'm listening, and my heart is being filled with each and every word that comes out of the mouth of my brothers that want to share. And so that's what I want, brother. Yeah.
Okay. All praise, all praise.
All praise to the Most High.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. All right. Eric Cole, 513. I believe that is the ambassador right there. Let me open up his line.
Yes,
all right.
Everybody.
You are on the air. All right.
Sorry, I missed you guys last week. I actually fell asleep. You know, and the body has
gotcha.
A way of letting you know that it's time for you to sit down somewhere and get some rest, right?
Right.
So I listened, and I did just that. But greetings, shalom. We love you all, man. This is an awesome opportunity that we don't take for granted. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate you. Sister Thel, so good to hear your voice again.
Thank you, sir. You too.
Again, it's your boy, the Ambassador Priscilla Del Porche, all the way over here in Cincinnati, Ohio, representing Salt Light Kingdom Ministries, where we believe in bringing the saltiness back to the believer, through rightly dividing the word of truth and kingdom principles. Our foundation scripture is found in the book of Matthew, the 5th chapter and the 13th verse, which reads, "Ye are the salt of the earth. And if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted?" I appreciate Waking Up Israel because it is pertinent as a believer for us to know who we are. And this is one of the things that Brother Micah and Sister Thel are bringing to the forefront. And like you said, there's a whole lot of voices out there that's doing, I think it was Sister Thel that said there's a lot of people doing a lot of different things, believing a lot of different things, supporting a lot of different things. But the only thing that's going to stand is the truth.
Amen.
So that's where I'm interested in landing, is on the truth. So therefore, that's why I participate in these shows. That's why I participate with the Five Smooth Stones Network with my brother Seth, is because the interest or the thrust, if you will, is the truth. So with that being said, I'll be quiet and get in where I fit in.
Right. Yeah, ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Let's see here. Okay, well, we're waiting on Brother Self and the Five Smooth Stones family to join us. But I'm going to go over kind of, you know, what we're going to get into this show here, a little, you know, overview. And it may lead to, you know, other topics as well, but the door is wide open, y'all. We're going to be conversating on a little range of things. Try to hit everything as we can, you know, get all our words out, too. So what I was hoping to do is get into Romans 8, All right, read that. And also John, 1 John chapter 3. All right. Yeah, Self had said he wanted to hit on those two books there. And then I want to kind of take everybody on this little journey on Paul's little journey. And what kind of went sideways a tad bit. I ain't going to say they was fighting or anything, but there was a little upsetness. They made each other a little upset at some point. And I want to kind of air that out on how everything kind of set in motion the way that it went. So I definitely want to kind of hit on those topics and to kind of look at the differences on how they preach the gospel. Their missions, because both of them are literally on their own separate missions. And, so both of them are literally on their mission. And, so I want to kind of put that out there. And paint that picture, you know what I'm saying, what all transpired. Also, I wanted to kind of, the commandments, you know, Brother Purcell, you missed on that last show, but we was talking about if we was under the law or not under the law and things like that. But what I like to think as I reviewed that last show, that we were both talking about the same thing, basically, in a lot of ways. It's the word law, apparently, you know. If I was to set it in a way like commandments, then I think it would have been received, you know. But mm-hmm. See, the way I worded it was saying law. And I think... When I was saying law, everybody was picturing in their minds animals' throats getting cut, you know, at the altar, you know. And it takes you to a time period before Christ. And, and I think that's what the bigger issue was. And we went back and forth about that. And I guess right now that I kind of understand it, we're talking about the same thing. It's just about the wording, you know what I'm saying? Brother Purcell, you got any comments about that?
The law and command, it sounds like you were saying that the law is synonymous with commandments.
Yeah, like the Ten Commandments. There's a lot of Christians out there that subscribe to that being under that is our law, right? So they hold that near and dear, and they consider themselves like what Paul said, being adopted in, you know. But then there are other Christians that, you know, and Israelites as well, that kind of view it as ourselves was looking at it, you know, in that light. So really, not only are we having a conversation about Hebrew Israelites, we're really just literally talking about the body of Christ and the arguments that is literally taking place even before we even woke up that we're Hebrew Israelites. You know what I'm saying? This is mm-hmm. a really old argument amongst Christians as well. All mm-hmm. right. Go ahead, Brother Priscilla.
Well, the way I view the commandment, if you will, is I view the commandment as the believer's code of conduct. Okay? Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. These are the things thou shalt not covet another's wife. These are things I think the commandments are things that keep us in moral alignment with the mind of Christ. Okay? This is why I'm such a big stickler on this whole, I believe it's found in Philippians chapter 2, where it tells us to let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. This is why it's so important, I think, based on the commandments. I think this is why it's so important for us to literally allow the mind of Christ, to have preeminence in our life. Okay? So what's so difficult with this whole law and commandment thing, what's so difficult about this is we have to abandon our own way of thinking. And because of the strength of our will, okay, we really struggle with that thought or with that idea. You literally, that's why Paul admonishes us to die daily. We have to die to ourselves, die to our way of thinking. This is why he tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse number 2, to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. He's simply telling us we have to abandon the normal, what we used to. We have to abandon everything that we've been taught in the natural, and we have to acquiesce to what is now spiritual. That's why I think where we're going in Romans 8 is there is now therefore no more condemnation. Why? Because we no longer walk after the flesh, but after the spirit.
Okay.
We no longer are governed by our own way of thinking.
But
we're now governed by the mind of Christ. This is what's pertinent, man. All this other stuff.
Right.
This right here that I just said, that coupled with love, if we could get these two things down, that will eliminate 75% of the debates that are taking place right now.
Gotcha, brother. Yes, sir. Amen on that. Brother Patel, we got, I believe this is Brother Self and the Five Smoothstone family. They're coming on in, and we're going to give them their greetings. All right, Brother Self, you are on the line right now. You're live on air.
Well, shalom, shalom, family.
All right, shalom, shalom, back to you.
Shalom, shalom.
Okay, Brother Self, like always, I want you to go ahead and, tell a little bit about Five Smoothstone's family, about yourself, and we're going to get into it right after that.
Well, since I'm running a little late, I'm going to make it short. I would just say this. We're at blogtalkradio.com/5_smooth_stones. Again, www.blogtalkradio.com/5_smooth_stones. And you can also find us at by Googling Blog Talk Radio, Five Some Stones. And I am Brother Seth. We have on several co-hosts. I'm trying to tell y'all something different that I hadn't said before about the Five Some Stone Network. But we have about six co-hosts when they come on, if they can come on. And that is Brother Purcell Porche, who y'all hear. And greetings, Brother Purcell. Ambassador Purcell. As co-host, Brother, we call him Brother Kenwin, but y'all know him as Brother Michael Israel, the founder of this podcast, of this show, Waking Up Israel. And we also have Pastor Alcy Chris when he's able to come on. Brother Ella Shaw, who, whenever he's able to come on, I'll just say it like that. He's been on in the past. And some of these people don't come on as much now. Brother John Clark and Sister Eliana Bhatia. These are our co-hosts that come on from time to time. We just simply are individuals that's trying to speak things we know for sure. Things have changed our life. And I have five topics that I put out there the most, and that's where we get the whole Five Smooth Stone name, because we're talking about five topics, five revelations that I believe that the Father has given me, and I make sure that I put that out there the most. But we really talk about, brothers and sisters, any and everything that relates to so-called African-Americans, because we believe African-Americans are one of the lost tribes of Israel. And so I've had on many co-hosts over the years since 2011, but currently those are the co-hosts now. Some of them are not on right now for whatever reason, but I don't count them out because they come and go. You know, we'll think they're gone and they'll come back, and so. But that's who's been contributing over the shows. When you look into that website and you begin to hear some of the shows, you're going to hear Purcell Porche, Ambassador Purcell Porche. You're going to hear Brother Michael Israel. You're going to hear Sister Eliana Bhatia. You're going to hear also Pastor Alcy Chris, who's the least spoken of us, but he definitely speaks. And then you're going to hear Ella Shore. You're going to hear your Brother John Clark. Okay, and I'm thankful for them. But that's the Five Smooth Stone Network, Brother Michael.
Okay. I would like to take this time out to kind of bring you up to speed on what's been said already. We was kind of doing a little reflection on the past three shows we done did already in this series, and how a lot of it could be contributed to simply communication. You know, communication. Because if we believe that we got Christ and we've been led by the Holy Spirit, surely we could overcome this obstacle that divides a lot of us. Maybe just simply little topics, you know, and that we can just simply overcome and make peace with, you know. And not that it's a big deal, but like I was telling Brother Perse, that even before I woke up, Brother Purcell, even before I woke up as being Israel, they was having the same exact conversation. It's an old conversation, actually, not coming from the perspective that they are Israel, but Christianity been arguing about this. Same thing. And it's really a division amongst Christians, you know, in the body of Christ for a long time now, all right? And so the Ten Commandments. We have heard a famous pastor, Creflo Dollar, denouncing the Big Ten, what he called it, you know, and saying that he got things wrong all these years. Right? Thou should not kill.
What's the Big Ten? I missed that one.
Thou should not kill. The Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments?
The Big Ten?
Yes.
No, the tithe. He was talking about the tithe. Creflo Dollar was talking about the tithe.
I missed that, y'all. I don't remember him denouncing any.
Y'all, you missed that?
No, Seth,
I heard
that.
Him
he
talk about tithing. He said he had tithing.
Yes, concerning tithing.
Wrong. Not no Big Five. I don't know about that.
The Big Ten would be the tenth.
The Big
in tithing. The 10%.
Yes. Yes, but that's why
the
tenth, he had got the
Big Tenth as in tithing, not the ten, because somebody going to think that, not the Ten Commandments, but
the Ten Commandments.
I've never, no, Cuffalo Dollar don't denounce that.
Okay.
He don't believe now you can lie, cheat, steal. He don't believe that.
No, he's led by the Spirit is what he...
If you're led by the Spirit, you're not going to lie, cheat, steal, nor break none of the Ten Commandments.
That's what he... That's his point. So we're... But we... Like, he's not under the law is his point. That's his whole point.
Yeah.
And he's incorrect about the teaching. Okay.
I'm going to jump out, Brother Michael. All I'm saying is I don't want to misrepresent Creflo. There's a lot of things I disagree with him on. But that brother will never, ever denounce the Ten Commandments as much as he teach on don't kill, steal. And he believes in being led by the Spirit like I believe. If you're led by the Spirit, you will not offend the Father.
Yeah, that's what he was saying, just that, brother. But that's not denouncing the Ten, okay? I may worded it like that because of what he said regards to tithing. That's part of the commandments that God placed on the Jews dealing with tithing. And if you don't have a belief system being led.
That's not the Ten, though.
No, he was talking about he's not under the law of the Jews, okay? He was talking about he wasn't under the law, and he said in his speech, that's including the Big Ten. That's regarding of the Ten Commandments.
Right.
But if y'all never witnessed that conversation that he had, I thought that was very popular. But if y'all never witnessed it, then I should have played it as a clip on here. But I wasn't.
Well, no,
sure.
I know exactly
y'all
what he means.
Familiar.
Brother King, well, Brother Michael, let me just say this. And I just I'm going to calm it down a little bit.
Okay.
I am very, very, very familiar with Creflo Dollar. Where I disagree with Creflo is what he said he was wrong in. So, in other words, when the way he talked about tithing, I never agreed with him in the first place. So now he see what I was saying and what people have been saying. Okay? Having said that, Creflo will never, ever, ever think you can steal, kill. That's like me saying that. What he was saying, I don't even have to listen to the clip to know what he believed because I hear him all the time. What he believed is what I believe. If you follow the Holy Spirit, you're going to make the Father very happy. You're not going to be lying, cheating, stealing, adultery, none of that. When he say he's not under the law or he's not under the tithing Levitical law, he just means in his own efforts trying to be righteous through doing no lying, no cheating, no stealing. Just because I don't feel I'm condemned by not keeping them to where I can't come before the Father, it don't mean I believe in lying, cheating, stealing. I just mean I'm not justified by them like they used to be on the Old Testament. And I think that's the confusion. When people see and people hear, we're not under, they hear some kind of way we don't have to keep it. There is not one church I have ever been to that teaches grace or that teaches Paul that believe that. Not one. And I'm over 60 years old. That's not what they're saying. They're just saying we're no longer bound by them to where we're judged by the Most High. And I'm out.
Yes, sir. Let me make that correction if I came off unclear. I never said that he believes that we could do those things. All right? I didn't mean it if you did interpret it like that. I didn't mean it like that. Okay, I'm just saying that how he's led by the Spirit, and he believes that we're not under the Mosaic Covenant whatsoever. So by default, he was letting everybody know that he was wrong about tithing and things of that nature, okay? And he did mention the Big Ten, and that's the Ten Commandments, all right? So I just kind of want to put that out there. But anyway, let's move on, all right? We wanted before we move on, I want to do kind of just ask Sister Thel, this past three shows that we did, we're on show number four. Can you give us your opinion, Sister Thel, on where you kind of at with your understanding on these past shows, Sister Thel?
Okay, well, first of all, I want to say welcome to everyone. And, I had told you before we really start getting into the main conversations and what have you, you want to start with prayer and bring the Most High or the Savior into the mix. So I was going to ask you to ask one of the brothers if they just, first of all, let's open up with a prayer, because the Most High knows that I don't know. I'm one of those people out there in the midst of a field of wanderers who is searching.
Mm.
And when the words come down and into a field of, people, the population is millions. But when your words come out of your mouth, it's like rain. It rains down on us, and we absorb. We absorb what we hear. And I believe that everything that's been said and everything that comes out of everyone is for a purpose. And it's going to fall upon the ears of all of those millions of people or whoever is listening, and each one will absorb in their spirits what the Most High wants them to receive, if that makes any sense. So I just want to say that this has been informative. I am just learning. I combined everything that I have been taught from childhood in Christianity, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I learned that if I wanted to, the Father only grants anything that comes, it only if you come through the Son. So I know that in order for me to talk with the Most High, I have to go through the Son. He represents the Father to where, whether if I was Gentile or whatever I was, we come in step. We come in step with who we are and the path that we come in step with. I keep on saying this, it's like, are we all in the same room here? Are we on the same path? Oh, the path can be wide, very wide. So, no one, the path to him, he leaves it open. He lets all of us know that there's a path. We have to seek and we have to choose which path. That's basically it. So there's nothing that he hasn't kept hidden from us. He's trying to bring it out through all different types of tongues, all different manners. He uses whomever he wants to bring the message.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, brother, this has been great. It's been great. It really has. Because you have a mixture of a lot of different voices. But me as one of the, little grass in the field of grass, me as a little stem there sticking up, I say that I'm so glad that there are people out there who are getting this message across to people like me and people who are homebound, people who don't go to church or never entered a church house. But the Most High is just making it easier for even the ones that are in these desolate places can hear. If they have a radio or they have a computer now, he's making it so easy for us all to hear the different voices, the different things that comes out of our spirits over the airways for us to receive. Just don't keep nothing from us. Let us know it all, as much as you can give us. That's what he called the leaders for. That's what he called these you guys to come. If you want to come out and do this, you just didn't wake up one day and knew this. It's in your spirit. For whatever reason, it's, you know, that's what I'm saying. So that's for you to do and for me to receive. So you just keep doing what you're doing. And I hope and pray that there are listeners who are taking this in. This, Brother Purcell and Brother Seth, they're not talking to just each other. And you also, Brother Michael, you're not talking to Brother Seth and Brother Purcell, more or less. You're talking to us, the listeners. So when you're talking on the air, please make sure that everyone is aware that you're talking to us and not to each other. And I just want to say that it's been informative for me to listen, but I kind of got lost because I thought you guys were talking to each other. And I thought, wait a minute, I'm the one that's supposed to be talking to me. I'm supposed to get this information, and I'm hoping and praying that the listeners is also feels that you, Brother Seth, that you, Brother Purcell, and you, Brother Michael, you're not talking to each other. You're talking to us, the listeners. You want your word to go out. That's what I'm saying, your words, whatever your words are. And, you know, I'm in tears right now because it took 68 years, and man, I'm just now waking up and finding out there's more to this Bible than I've ever imagined.
Wow.
And now it's getting good. Now it's getting good. We didn't have as much information over the past, 200 or 300, 400 years, but we're living in this age where he's not just giving the tech information to the world, he's opening the floodgates for us. It's all for us to be able to obtain more information, because that's they're trying to go to the moon, but we didn't realize that we already have it. We have we can go as high because we are the people of the Bible. We are part of his family, and we're all in the same family. I just want to say that the world, we're all. And I just wanted to say that I'm just going to listen to you guys, and I'm going to take myself off and just listen. And so I appreciate everyone, and I hope that we'll have another conversation, and you'll try to think of a way to have a weekly series. Each and every Sunday.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Shalom, shalom.
Thank you. Shalom, shalom.
Amen.
All right. Okay. I want to say a little prayer, y'all. Open up. I don't hardly ever say prayers on Waking Up Israel. Israel, well, like anything else, man, we're divided. Okay. And so I was kind of avoiding saying prayers on my show. For a little while now, for that reason. We argue about the name of God, the name of Christ, bicker with each other on those things. And Israel is very, very, very much divided. And because of that fact, I want all Israel to tune into the show. But, however, here recently, I had a change of heart on that. I'm going to address the Father how I do in my personal time, and anyone that's listening, if you disagree with it, just pray for me. You know what I'm saying? I'm still learning or whatever. I really want us to unite. And I want y'all to look over the name. I kind of look over the name. So that's what I wanted to say before I start my prayer, if y'all don't mind. All right, here we go. Abba, Father, I pray that you lead me in bringing out information, Heavenly Father. I pray that you bless the show, that a lot will be said over it. That's for healing, gaining of knowledge, wisdom, for your name, Heavenly Father. Giving you all the glory, giving you all the love and thankful for sending your only begotten Son to die for all our sins. We love you.
Thank you, Lord.
And your precious Son's Messiah name, we pray to you. Amen. Okay.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
All right. Okay. So here we go.
Hiya.
Yes, sir.
I just want to say real quick, if
okay.
I can add something really, really quick.
Yes, sir.
Clark Sisters have a song that says Hiya. Jay-Z and Beyonce end up liking it, and that's another story. But Twinkie talked about Hiya being part of a Hebrew tongue. And she talked about how the mothers in church would go, Hiya! She go a little deep into it. But that name, Hiya, when it says, I am that I am, so brother, we feel you. Sure, you can say that name. Love how you pray. Thank you.
Okay, gotcha. All right. Okay, so, all right, here's your antenna ready, fellas. We want to get into Romans 8 and John chapter 3. I think we ought to dive on into there. But afterwards, after we get all what we want to say out of there, if we, you know, time is relevant, we're going to see what we can do. But I also want to kind of explain this little journey of Paul. It's very interesting how Peter started off being that guy for the going out into the Gentiles, and how Paul had an encounter with Christ and him being that guy, and how they chose Matthias to take Judas Iscariot's spot as the 12 apostles. But Christ, he chose Paul, all right? So almost as if Peter choosing Matthias to take that spot, almost like Christ wanted to pick a person for that spot. You know what I mean? And so it started with Peter being go ahead, brother. You saying something?
No.
Okay. So it started.
Let me say this really quickly, because once we get started, we don't want to stop. But y'all hear Brother Purcell sounding muffled a little, kind of like this, kind of like this a little bit.
Yeah.
Purcell, say something.
Yeah, like in a can or so.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Brother Purcell. Can you speak again for us?
Yeah.
It's worse now. What did you just do?
Yeah, he was a little clearer earlier.
You all were having trouble
hearing me. Yeah, per se, you have to do whatever you do when you normally call, because you muffle. When you play this back, you're going to understand what we're saying.
Okay. But I know one time he hanged up and called right back in, and he was a lot better. He was choppy.
Yeah, something he's doing different. He sounded kind of like this, a little bit like this. But it's okay.
Right,
I mean, we can make out what you're saying, but you got to play it back to hear it. But I guess we got to work with it. Or you can just call back one or two.
Okay, got it.
I'm just holding my earphones. That's all.
Okay. Okay. All right. So anyway, I just kind of want to give you a little preview on that. And what we're going to do right now, we're going to go ahead and let Brother Self dive into Romans 8. And afterwards, y'all, after we get Romans 8 and John 3 and speak up on those things, that Paul's journey was very, very interesting. I'm hoping that we can dive into that as well, okay? All right. So,
okay.
Brother Self, you
Romans
got the floor.
8. All right. Now, what I like to do, and they're not long, I want to play someone reading 5, 6, and 7. I promise you, 5 is 2 minutes, 6 is 3 minutes, 6, they're very short. Can we do it real quick? Because
okay.
It'll make a lot
yeah.
more sense.
Got
All right, here goes 5, everybody. Check this out.
Chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commandeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord.
Chapter 6.
What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. Yes. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Very important.
Chapter 7. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth? For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law sin was dead, for I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do I allow not, for what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that, when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?
Yeah.
I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with a mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin.
Wow. I want to just heal it real quick. And please know I had to do that. I had to play it because Romans 8 is in the middle of it all. And some of y'all didn't hear first show, second show, third show. So we had to lay that foundation. But chapter 7, verse 4, I don't know why I didn't hit this earlier. But I'm not going to talk about all of chapter 8. I'm only going to read about 7 verses from chapter 8. That's another reason I want to play the audio, because I'm not going to be long here, because I've already spent, 15 minutes, something like that. So chapter 7, verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. This is what I mean when I say we're not under the law. This is saying you're dead to the law. Whatever we're out here saying, we have to say it like that. We're dead to the law. But how? By the body of Christ. Two different laws here. But watch, it's going to say it in Romans 8. We're dead, brothers and sisters, to the law by the body of Christ. That don't mean you don't keep commandments with... It don't mean you don't do what the Father wants you to do, but in terms of, this is a system. Let me show you real quick what he means by this law thing, what he's saying about dead to law. That ye should be married to another, just like he just talked about the woman with the husband. It's saying one died and you're married to another, even to him which is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. In other words, we don't have this guilt. We can stand before his presence blameless. Verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, what do you mean when we were in the flesh? We live in our bodies now, Paul. Watch this. Listen. For when we were in the flesh, he can't mean like we are living in our bodies. He's talking about when our spirit, when we didn't have nothing, nothing was going on in our spirit. All we had was our flesh. For when we were in flesh, or when the Father treated us just by what we are in the flesh. For when we were in the flesh, watch this, the motions of sin, which were by the law. So the fact that we're dead to the law means there's no more motions of sin, because there's no law. Where there's no law, there's no sin. Dead work in our members. Let me read over. For when we were in the flesh, that means we're not in it no more. So it can't be talking about your body. The Father's no longer seeing us in the flesh. When we was in the flesh, we had the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth unto us death. But now, 2023, when Paul wrote this, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. See, under the law, you were guilty. You had no fruit. That's why I was talking about fruit in verse 4. But now it's saying we serve in the newness because of the birth of our new birth and us being placed in Christ. We stand before the Father blameless. How can we be blameless as much wrong as we do? It's because we're no longer in the flesh. The Father's no longer seeing us in our flesh. That's the best way to say it. But don't worry, it's going to get clear. Now let's jump down to Romans 8. I have to read that first. Now watch this. It's going to going to get clear. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ. That's a big word. That's a big phrase, in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, what folk want to make you think is when you're doing something in the flesh, when you're lying, cheating, stealing, you're walking after the flesh. That's not what this is saying. Because Paul just said earlier the things he hated, he find himself doing. He said, who shall deliver? He went on to say, if I want to do good now, I really do want to do good. But I find myself doing evil. Well, it can't be me because I want to do good. So he goes on to say, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And he goes on to explain that the body of the death that was craving evil was by the law. But we're not under the law. We're in Christ. That's how the Father deals with us now, in Christ. So there's no condemnation to that person that's in Christ, whose flesh is not in Christ. It's in the law. It's sin. Our flesh is not in Christ. Now, if you say, oh, brother, it don't make sense, watch this. Verse 2. This is going to make it clear. For the law of the Spirit, that's what we live in, not the Old Testament law. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death that's brought on by the law. One more time. Verse 3, going to nail it even more. For the law of Spirit of life in Christ, we have life in Christ. We have no condemnation in Christ. That's what Paul is saying. With my inward man, it's born again. That's why I say there's no condemnation. If, how can he say it when he's doing things with his flesh that he hates? So I don't play with this. It's either gift, righteousness, that is, or it's not. How can we stand before the Father blamed? That's what I want to know. Bro, you can't go out here talking about you doing some commandments or laws or whatever and think you're going to stand blameless before Yah of Israel? I'm not talking about Yeshua. I'm talking about the Father, the Most High. You're going to stand before him. Oh, no, no, no. It's not going to work like that. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, thank the Father he put us in Christ. That's maybe from the law of sin and death in our members. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. It couldn't do it because of the flesh. I said the law could not do something because of the weakness of the flesh. God sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He sent him for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. It's almost like condemning a building in Scripture. Verse 4, that the righteousness of the law. So you mean righteousness can come by the law? Yes. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled. It wasn't fulfilled. It struggled with the flesh. But it might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's what Paul was doing with his inner man. But there's some people that preach this. No, but if you walk after the flesh, it's lying, cheating, stealing. Oh, no. They're just ignorant because it won't make sense what they're saying. Inward man. Remember I read the scripture last week when the scripture was saying, I serve God with our inward man. We serve the Father. He is a spirit. You must worship him in spirit. Your body, we're commanded to live, to emulate what happened in the spirit. But you can't make your body be the righteousness that your spirit is, which is in Christ. One more time. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in him who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, like the Apostle Paul was talking about earlier. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Now, this is what Paul was saying. With my mind, I'm craving. I want to. Listen, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Some people think that means if you're sitting up thinking about porn, that's what you're after. That ain't what that's saying. Because people, that's their flesh craving the porn. Because in their mind, they're saying, Father, I want to live for you. Somebody may argue, well, what about those that plan sin? Yeah, even though you plan sin, in another part of you is saying, man, I shouldn't do this. I'm planning on cheating on my taxes. Lord, help me. That is the part of you that's born again. The world don't have that. I said, the world don't have that. The Bible says it cries, Abba, Father, oh, Father. The world don't have that. See, we just can't accept good stuff. We just can't. This is what people do. They look at what they're doing wrong, and they say, there's no way in the world God can forgive me. Y'all can forgive me. Y'all, there's no way I can be righteous. The righteousness of God in Christ, man, especially to just told somebody off of just sin. Sins make you feel so horrible. And we should be sinning. That last week. It does all kinds of things. You'll never experience the fullness of the Most High walking around sinning because the Bible says that your conscience is going to condemn you. Now, I'm reminded of, let me just go ahead and say this. Peter says, he says, if we say we have no sin, and this is somebody else teaching the same thing. This is where confusion came in. If we say we have no sin, we lie and the truth is not in us. If we confess our fault, he is faithful and just to forgive us. So Peter said, if you say you have no sin, you lie and the truth is not in us. Paul is not teaching you don't have no sin. He's saying he just got through saying his flesh craves evil. But in our spirits, it can't sin. 1 Peter 3 talks about that. Our spirit, it says very clearly, in 1 John, I meant to say 1 John, excuse me, y'all, I'm going fast because I'm trying to turn back over the mic. The Bible says, when we are born again, some part of us is born again. You don't have it when you're in the world. I'm not talking about guilt. I'm not just talking about wanting to be a good old person, nice person. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about something in you that cries, oh, Father, Abba, Father. It says it cries, Abba, Father. Everybody don't have that. The Bible says another way that though our outward man perish, our inward man is renewed day by day. The same Bible says this spirit, in this spirit that dwells in us by the Holy Ghost, it says you have an unction and knoweth all things. Problem is, brothers and sisters, I just don't think we believe it. It's just too good. How can inside of us be something that know all things? How can I know all things? That's what the Apostle Paul says. You have an unction from the Holy One and know all things. How? So Andrew Womack was asking that question. And that's a very good teacher that talk. Just go to YouTube and, again, type in Andrew Womack, Law and Grace. But he asked this question. People are saying, how can all this be inside of me? It's because you're not conditioned to, you don't hear truth. You know, all these people talking about the flesh, you know, and how bad you are and how you playing with God because of sin. And then you feel bad because in the Bible says sin is a mocker. So I'll put a pin in now. I can go further. I do want to say, it goes on to say, for they that are in the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. That's talking about your spirit, brothers and sisters. It's not talking about your mind that can look at a girl and go think of something crazy, or you get the mind of cheating. It's not talking about that. It's talking about an inner person. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritual minded is life and peace. Paul was this in Romans 8. So when Paul said the things I hate I find myself doing, he was not carnally minded. He was saying there was just a battle in his flesh. But his mind, here when it's talking about carnally minded, I believe it's talking about your spirit. Watch this, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So that can't be what Apostle Paul was talking about. So here we go, verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Oh, my goodness. That's what I'm trying to say. So obviously it don't mean just you and your body. It's a certain place we are in the spirit. We that are born again is placed in Christ. Those that are not born again, they're still in the flesh. They cannot please God. Neither have they known God, 1 John 3 says. You cannot do it. If you're in the flesh, you've never known God. If you're in the spirit, you're walking with the Father, and the Bible says his seed remaineth in you, and it cannot sin. I'm talking about the incorruptible seed. This stuff is just not taught. Verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh. I was just saying that, and I didn't even read this yet. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be the spirit of God dwell in you. Okay, the spirit of God dwell in you. Oh, yeah. Okay, you're not in the flesh. But my flesh is acting up. You know, but that's not where the Father sees you. This is not taught like this. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. People, let's get practical. Yeah, Walmart. Walmart is full of people. Some of them are in the flesh. They just don't know the Father. They're living their life in the flesh because they haven't been born again. Once they're born again by their spirit, the Holy Spirit comes to their spirit, it gives them that incorruptible seed. Bible says that thing can't sin. You, once you're placed in Christ, you're in Christ. There is no law. You're under the law. The people that's in the flesh is under the law. Because they're not in the spirit. But once you're in the spirit, you're in a place where you're given the righteousness of God. You become one with Christ. That's why we're able to call each other brother and sister. We become one family, one body. The Bible said we become the righteousness of Yah in Christ, that is. I'm telling you, that's the real us. Verse 9, one more time. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be the spirit of God dwell in you. If the spirit of God dwell in you, you're in the spirit. I'm talking about your spiritual identity. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, here we go, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, watch this one. If you think what I'm saying is confusing or something, listen to verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. This is why we say our body is dead. It has nothing to do with the Father relating to us. We're supposed to live holy, take our bodies and make it obey us born again individuals, that is, because we put it like this. Last thing I'm going to say. This is the last thing I'm going to say, for real. I just got to read the rest of this on your own time. Brothers and sisters, this is not confusing to me. It's very, very simple to me. Maybe not very simple, but you got to really listen. You can't be under the law and in Christ. If so be it the Spirit of the Father dwell in you, ye are in the Spirit. That's where you are. Your body, with regards to relating to the Father and him looking at you, it's out of the picture. It's dead. It's out of the picture. If you're not born again, you're in your flesh. It don't have no covenant with the Father. It's decaying. It's corrupt.
It craves sin. Even when you beat it down and control it, it still craves sin. It's not born again. This is why Christ condemned it, like you condemn a building, and we've now been placed in Christ. I'm out.
All right. Let's see, Brother Purcell, you got some words to say on what Brother Sefton kind of laid out? Brother Purcell, are you on? Okay. Brother Self, can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine.
Okay, all right. Okay, well, I guess I'll go ahead and
What do you have to say while
ahead.
We're waiting on him?
Okay, I think there's a lot to a lot of Hebrew Israelites that we can definitely get from Paul's teaching. No one can explain it in this type of detail better than Paul. I just don't any other apostle that we come across, they just don't explain the details of this like he do. However, he lets us know that he's talking to the Gentile by mentioning the flesh and things like that. Let's say you was reading in chapter 8, like, for instance, verse 7 in chapter 8. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, that carnal mind. He's talking to a people that wasn't under the first covenant, right? So he's bringing them to Christ, and he's telling them that their carnal mind, and how us Jews deal with that too over here. We deal with somewhat, we got this law and the commandments of God, and we fail from this. That desire that's in us, which Paul calls that old man, that wants to break these commandments, we fail. We need Christ. All right? But when you're dealing with people that's not under the covenant, this is the wording that he chose, and which is genius, by the way, because not only was it powerful enough for the people outside of the covenant to come to Christ, but those who are under the covenant, we understand what he's saying, too, as well. We can take in our walk and know the details of it in that type of light, too, right? Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God. It's not subject to these commandments, your carnal mind. It naturally wants to break this stuff, break these commandments, right? Neither indeed can be, right? That carnal mind, that animalistic behavior that's in our mind, that lust and crave these things, right? Like a wild man or some kind of caveman or something like that, you know, that sees what he sees and he goes for it without any type of rules, right? If you jump on down to 15, I think it's the telltale sign. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear. They didn't receive it, right? That spirit of bondage being poked under these rule book to receive no fear of God, right? But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So now this is what it all boils down to, this point right here. You know what I mean? Through faith, through the spirit of Christ, and walking in the newness, right? Getting rid of that carnal mind and Christ being that light in that carnal mind's body, in that caveman, wild man's body. You get rid of that. That's what's in you, that old man that's inside of you. that crave to break God's commands. I can dig it. I like how he worded that. Let's go down and jump down to 27. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. According to the will, what is God's will? Right? Obedience, right? His will is for us to have obedience to his commandments. let me read it again. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, right? Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, right? To them who are the called according to his purpose. From whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. That's a lot being said right there. All right? But basically, this includes that wild man as well. As we take in Christ into our heart and be we newly walking with Christ to our Father, now we justified to our Father. Now who's to say to the people who's not under this covenant can't participate as well? They need redemption. And if they be redeemed through Christ, they too can stand in front of God. You know what I'm saying? Blameless. Justified also. And with them also glorified. This is what it's all about. I can dig it, what's being said. All right. Let me see here. Brother Purcell, are you back now? Okay. All right. All right. He must have stepped away for a second, y'all. I guess now is a good time for me to, for us to take a look. Oh, you're back with us now? Okay. Well, what I want to do, y'all, I want to go ahead and take a little break right now. I want to put everybody on hold, and I'm going to play a little clip. It's going to be this little break that we take, y'all. And I'm going to it just came to me. I'm going to play this little clip, and when we come back, we're going to jump right back into it, all right? All right. Let me put everybody on hold. Okay, y'all, and we're going to – after this clip, we're going to jump back into Romans 7 or what's been said, you know, with Brother Purcell coming back on, as well as we're probably going to start hitting on 1 John and the things said in that. But until then, we're going to take us a little break. And over the break, I'm going to go ahead and play a clip instead of a song during the break, okay, that we can kind of meditate, and we was hitting on it earlier. So I'm going to go ahead and play this clip. And this clip is Creflo Dollar, because I said some things in the beginning, and I just kind of see if this shines a little light on the conversation. All right, here we go.
I want to start off by saying to you that I'm still growing, and that the teachings that I've shared in times past on the subject of tithing were not correct. And today I stand in humility to correct some things that I've taught for years and believed for years, but could never understand it clearly because I had not yet been confronted with the gospel of grace, which has made the difference. I won't apologize, because if it wasn't for me going down that route, I would have never ended up where I am right now. But I will say that I have no shame at all at saying to you, throw away every book, every tape, and every video I ever did on the subject of tithing. unless it lines up with this. I've done some corrective teaching in the last 10 years, but not to the degree of what we're getting ready to do now. So why is this important? Because religion is sustained by two factors, fear and guilt. And if it's one subject that the church has used for a long time to keep people in fear and guilt, it is in that subject of tithing. And it has to be corrected, and it's got to be corrected now. I may lose some friends. Preachers may not ever invite me no more, but I think I've already been through that, so it doesn't matter. The Lord woke me up at 5:30 this morning, and he said this to me, and he said, get up and write it down before you lose it. He said that your giving is a response to my ability to take care of you. He said, when you give, it is your declaration of dependence on me. All right, now watch this. The New Testament talks about the importance and the benefits of giving. That's what it talks about. We are to give as we are able. And sometimes that means giving more than 10%. Sometimes that means giving less. It all depends on the ability of the Christian and the needs of the body of Christ. So every Christian should diligently pray and seek God's wisdom in the matters of participating on how much you should give. Now, above all, giving should be given with pure motives. It should be given with an attitude of worship to God, and it should be given as a service to the body of Christ. So according to 2 Corinthians 9 and 7, look what he says here. He says, you must each decide in your own heart how much to give. New Testament, you must decide in your own heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly, or don't give in response to pressure. Well, the tithing teaching always pressured me. It gave me fear. Malachi 3:10 says, what's that? You are cursed with a curse. I remember one time my tithe was like, I don't know what it was, $100 and some dollars and 26 cents, and I didn't have the 26 cents. And somebody put a brick through my window, my car window of a new car I had. And Taffy and I just got married, and as soon as I did that, the condemnation of tithing and not tithing came up, and I'm like, you know, the devil just spoke to me and said, see, Dale, if you tithe, then this wouldn't have happened. The only reason it happened, it was fear-based. He says, you're never to give in response to pressure.
That's all I was able to get from that conversation, y'all. That was all I was able to get from that. It was just a 4.5 minute. But if you would have heard the sermon, I think you would have rung the light a little bit of what we're talking about here tonight. Because I think it's kind of all basically the same thing what we're hitting on tonight. Let me open up everybody's line. All right. That's Five Smooth Stones, Brother Purcell. All right, so I played that little clip during our break, and I think that y'all kind of on the same page with them, right? Hello? Can y'all hear me?
So
basically that the issue with tithing is dealing with the law. I guess what this point was, that he was in error all this time, of giving tithing. Do y'all agree with that, or right? Y'all agree with that? That he's this new leaf.
I think he's on the right road now. I've always been told, as every man been prospered, so let him give. I do, however, put up with people saying, "Let's pick up our tithe" and all that. I think Creflo is right. It's supposed to be give what's in your heart. Again, laws, 10% for everybody,
It's not that, again, the Father was just trying to get Israel to be blessed. You have to give, is what the Father was saying. That's the spirit behind tithing. Give may not be 10%. I'm talking about in the Old Testament. You could have gave more, but he just wanted you to give. That's the spirit behind tithing. And I think Creflo is on to it now.
Okay, yeah, gotcha, gotcha. All right. Go ahead,
now,
Brother Brazil.
I don't know. I may be a little conflicted with this topic, and it could be because of the way I've learned it and what I believe that I've received as it relates to tithing. Now, tithing and giving, in my opinion, are two different things, which is why he had the 10% attached to the tithe. The tithe, in my understanding, is the... First of all, tithing belongs to God. Tithing is like taxes. Okay? When we get paid, we don't see that portion that was deducted from our check, because that was your responsibility as it relates to your taxes. The paying of your taxes, right?
Okay.
And I view the tithe in that same light. So the tithe is not a free will offering. The tithe is a minimum requirement that belongs to God. It's your reasonable service, if you will, 10% of your income, 10 cents of a dollar, okay? We should be able to live off of 90% of our income. We should be able to, right? Now, giving, on the other hand, giving is what we understand to be a free will offering. That's why the scripture tells us in the book of Proverbs to give as you're able to give. Okay? Now, what I do like what he said is you don't give based on pressure. I really like that. I really like that, because I struggled with that in times past until I ran across the scripture that said, give as you're able to give. Now, the other thing that helped make it real plain for me was the scripture that lets us know that God loves a cheerful giver. Don't give grudgingly nor out of necessity. That helps you in your giving as well. If you check your spirit and find that you're giving grudgingly, then don't give it. Here's one thing that I've realized as I've grown in the faith, okay? I realized that your faith walk is personal. This thing is personal. And you have to, man, how do I put this? You have to you
but
have
the Holy
to,
Spirit
you have
kind
to,
of got
you. You have to walk this walk in the right spirit. Okay? You have to be in the right frame of mind as it relates to the gospel. You can't just do this thing haphazardly because it's not pleasing to God. Everything we give out of our heart condition. Everything, let me say it like this. Everything we give to God, okay, or Yah, we give out of our heart condition. This is why we hear scriptures like, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Okay? If you understand that, then you know you can't take it back. Because that's what was in your heart to say, or that's what was in your heart to do. So that's what God respects, is what was in your heart. Remember, the Bible teaches that he searches the heart. And God looks, or a man looks on the outward, but God weighs the spirit. So he's always concerned about our heart posture, which is why one of the most important things is for our heart to be circumcised. It's another important matter in the book of Ezekiel. I think we talked about this before, where he talked about taking away our stony heart and giving us a heart of flesh, right? So this thing is a heart thing, man. It's a heart thing. That's why we have to love him with all of our heart, because he knows if I have his heart, then I have him. Okay? We can't serve him.
That's good. That's good.
We just can't. We just can't serve him without yielding our heart to him. You can't, because you're stuck in the balance of serving two masters. If he don't have your whole heart, then you're serving two masters. Remember? And then he said, if we do that, then one suffers while the other gets the benefit. You can't share. God is a jealous God. He's a jealous God. So everything we do has a direct correlation to our heart's posture.
I think that's good. Priscilla, I think that's good you're saying that. And I think at the end of this conversation, that's really what it's all about. We're getting deep and reading scriptures and all that, but scriptures say you're going to take away the stony heart. It's, we serve Yah with our spirit. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, was sent to this earth, what, to make us just feel goosebumps? The Bible says no one knows the spirit of a man. No one knows a man save the spirit of a man. No man knows the Father except the spirit of the Father. The Holy Spirit was to instruct us in how to please the Most High. The law was just a schoolmaster. You have to say that. Whatever you're saying, your teachings, we have to say that. It's just a schoolmaster. It wasn't the real deal. That don't mean we don't keep what the Father tells us. But we're not justified by it. We cannot be justified. Because the law introduces sin. Sin, you can't enter before the Most High. You're going to have guilt and all that. That's why the Father had to take our identity out of the flesh.
Right.
And place it in Christ. So Father. Now we're new creatures. I know it's weird, it's strange. It should be. It's new. This is something new, and it still ain't taught, so it's even newer than it was when it was first wrote. We still don't know nothing about it. Because we think our folk run around in the flesh trying to think. Just remember the Catholic Church. They started all this. I shouldn't say started, but they promoted it even more. So Luther come along. Martin Luther come along and say, wait a minute. Y'all, we trying to work our way into heaven, but I'm reading this Bible, and it's saying that the just shall live by faith. So the Protestant, that's where it was, things changed. And we, Baptists, Holiness, we're protesting the Catholic Church that says based on works or the law. That's the Catholic Church. It's now grace. So now we can go before the Father boldly. Well, you say, I ain't all that. I know you're not all that. Neither am I. It ain't based on us. Whether we're doing good or bad, go boldly if you're born again. I'm not trying to belittle messing up and sinning. Go ahead. Here's somebody trying to get in.
Because you go as
go,
him.
Go ahead.
You go as him. Now listen.
Yes.
Bear in mind, okay, that everything before Christ, was done of the flesh.
Absolutely.
Everything before, hear me. This will help us clarify this whole law and spirit thing. Everything before Christ was done of the flesh. The sacrificing of the animals, the priest going in for the atonement. Everything
flesh.
Was done of the flesh. We were being, our justification back in the day was based on the purity, if you will, of the priest. This is why they tied a rope around the priest's ankle with a bell on it, so that when he went into the holies of holies to atone for us, he had to be right. If he didn't, he would fall dead and give up the ghost. And then where does that leave us? Having to go start all over again. So now we get over here, that's the old covenant. They realize that the old covenant was flawed, which is why the book of Galatians chapter 2, verse number 21 tells us that if the law was able to make us righteous, then Jesus died for nothing. So now we see Jesus show up on the scene, Emmanuel, God with us. Then Jesus leaves the scene and lets us know that he's going to send something, someone greater than he, which is the Comforter. And then the Comforter comes, and now he leads us and guides us into all truth. From the inside of us, which is why we find in the scripture also, the scripture that tells us that we have an unction living on the inside of us, no man should teach us. Jesus said, I didn't come to get rid of the law, but to fulfill it. We talked about this. He came as all man, all deity, and the fullness of the law.
Absolutely.
So we no longer...
Bringing up the rear, what the law couldn't do. The law ran the first leg, second leg, but it couldn't run all the way because of the flesh. Christ completed
the race. Exactly. We needed the Holy Ghost. We needed the Holy
Ghost. Gotcha. Can I jump in, fellas?
We need the Holy Ghost. Huh?
Yeah, I'd like to jump on in, man.
Come on.
I just wanted to say to the listener that we're coming from different perspectives, okay? What these brothers are saying are not lies, all right? But they're coming from a different angle, and the wording can be different. But when they speak about not being under the law and how they're under grace, they're talking about the law without Christ, okay? So when you hear them talk about how the law and what we was doing in our flesh, they're speaking of a time period before Christ came, okay? And after sacrificial was done with, we was dead. There's just nothing that we had to redeem us. That's the dead in the law. What our Father do? He sent Christ. Christ became that for us, our sacrifice. And with his blood that we're able to be righteous. What Paul is teaching is to a people that I just said it 100 times, y'all. This gospel that Paul's teaching and the gospel that they're teaching in Jerusalem, evangelizing Jews, they're the same gospel, but the audience is what's different. The wording is what's different, y'all. But the concept is basically the same. We need Christ. That's the whole point. All right? So Paul, in talking to his audience, and he brings in his, he's an Israelite, everybody. He's telling him his walk and how he needs Christ and what the law couldn't do without a sacrifice. He's dead. Right? With Christ, now he's whole again. He can stand boldly in front of the Most High with Christ, in Christ. And how they can too. They can too. They put Christ in their heart. They can do it as well without the deeds of the law. You don't have to be no Israelite to get this. All right, now, let's go into how they evangelizing Jews. I know I got some things I got to say now, y'all. How they evangelize Jews, the wording is lots different. But I'm sure everybody's familiar with James, his speeches, Peter, John, the book of Revelations, Christ himself is speaking in Jerusalem. And you hear this echo over and over again. Keep the commandments. Family, when I say law, that's what I mean. The commandments. The commandments of God. Right? The righteousness of God. That's what I mean. Keep them. That was in you to want to break those commandments. That's not of God. That want to be, that's your, well, how Paul worded it. It was your flesh. That carnal, animalistic part of you. All right? That wants to break God's commandments. Because if we all had Christ in our hearts, we wouldn't be in sin in the first place, right? Because he's destroyed that desire to want to break God's commandment. So that's the ultimate goal where we're trying to be, y'all. We're trying to walk upright with Christ redeeming us, walking in obedience to the Father. All right, Brother Self, sound like you wanted to say something. Did you want to get something in?
I just came across a scripture, and I don't know how I miss this. Folks, it's the whole New Testament. It's not Paul. It's everybody. But I want to go to 1 Corinthians 9. I'll read it. 1 Corinthians 9 and 21. This is crazy. Not crazy, but you know what I mean. Paul is, the great apostle Paul is talking about different things he do to reach people. He said unto the Jews, I became a Jew, that I may gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I may gain them that are under the law. Watch this. Here's a key scripture. To them that are without the law, as without the law, being not without the law of God,
under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. And that's us. That's Seth Purcell. When he go to talk to people, if he's trying to, if somebody say, I'm not under the law, I'm under Christ. When Paul go to teach them, he carry himself this way. Verse 21, to them that are without the law, I go as though as without the law. Being not without the law to God. He's saying, I'm being not without the law to God. I'm not being lawless to God, but under the law of Christ, that I may gain them that are without the law.
Okay.
Or somebody may say to the Gentiles, who they not under the law. Let's read again and think about them. Gentile. To them that are without the law, as without the law. But he's saying, in parenthesis, but not without the law to God, but unto the law to Christ, the law of Christ. Never does Paul the apostle speak of just living any old kind of way. And that's what I'm trying to say. I don't know if y'all got that or not.
Yeah, to me it sounds a big light on our whole conversation. To me, it's what I get out of it. He is the apostle for the Jews. I mean, for the Gentiles. All right? The mission is the 10 tribes that was to the north that scattered around the world. They don't know our identity or anything like that. He's going out there, and his gospel is a worldwide gospel. It's a gospel to bring to all ears who haven't received the revelation that Christ has came into this world. And he has died for our sins. How we need him to be in front of God, to be righteous before God. That's the gospel that he's presenting to the world and all the ears that may hear it around the globe. That's what I get out of it. Go ahead, Brother Purcell.
Okay, I just want to share, once again, my favorite translation. And let me see. I'm gonna start at 19 and read through 21, if that's okay. My favorite translation being, as you all know, TPT, the Passion Translation. So now listen to how this clarifies. Now, even though I am free from obligations to others. I joyfully make myself a servant to all in order to win as many converts as possible. I became Jewish to the Jewish people in order to win them to the Messiah. I became like one under the law to gain the people who were stuck under the law, even though I myself am not under the law. And to those who are without the Jewish laws, I became like them as one without the Jewish laws in order to win them. Although I'm not outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ. We'll say that again.
Okay, can you read that one more time? Just 21.
Just 21? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And to those who are without the Jewish laws, I became like them as one without the Jewish law, in order to win them. Although I'm not outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ. In other words, what he was saying was, I have been converted. I now have the Spirit of Christ living on the inside of me.
Right.
Okay.
And you
so now,
the ones who
this, which is why he said, I am not under the law, but under the law of Christ. The law of Christ is the Holy Ghost. That's why they refer to him in other translations as Christ, the Anointed One. Okay? Because that is the Holy Ghost.
Okay.
So he's now, because Paul has been converted here, he's reminding us that now I'm no longer under the Jewish law by alone, if you will, but I'm now under, or let me put it this way, I'm no longer under the old covenant. I'm now under the new and better covenant. I'm not saying that. The Word said it. The Word said new and better covenant.
Okay, where at? Where are you reading at it?
Okay, let me
see. Oh, are we talking about the new covenant
about
now? Or?
Huh?
Yeah, you talking about
hold
Hebrews,
that.
Book of Hebrews?
Can we hold that? I just want to give y'all two scriptures before we can switch to that. I want to talk about that anyway. We got a little time. If we're going to roll over, I don't know if you, but I recommend we do because this is good. This is really good. But I got two verses before we move from under the law. I got two powerful verses. I don't know how I missed these verses. I actually just played it, but I guess we. So can I read these two verses, then we can talk about this new covenant. Percel can tell us where to turn.
Well, I kind of wanted to give y'all a little taste of what they taught in Jerusalem. When can we get into that?
We can.
What
I just want to read
thinking?
These two scriptures, and I'm out. I don't want to even comment on them. I just want to read them.
Gotcha. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No comment, I promise. Romans 6 and 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law? That's two times he said we're not under the law, but under grace. God forbid. I'm out.
All right. Yeah, he's speaking to the Gentiles, y'all. All right. Yeah. So, anyway, let's go to
Revelation. He said we, Brother Kent, Brother Micah. He did say we.
I hear you, brother. All right. Let's go to Revelation chapter 14, verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. John in the book of Revelation, y'all, the last book of our Bible. Obviously, he's talking to the ones who believe they're under the old covenant or believe they're under the law of God, okay? Now, the new covenant was established, but God, it's just transferred over, these laws of God, okay? You can call it the law of Christ, but they're God's laws. And Christ, if you break
one of them. Scripture again, please?
That's the redemption.
Can I have that scripture again, please?
This is Revelation.
Can I have that scripture again?
Chapter 14. Revelation, chapter 14, verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints.
Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. All right. Let's see here.
I guess what I'm saying, and you can answer this question. Why don't you keep hearing, and your mother, Sister Thel, did remind us that we're not just talking to each other. So when I ask you this, I'm not just asking you this, but we keep getting tripped up when we hear this phrase, commandments of God.
Okay.
Now, somebody might read it like this. Here is the patient of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. I look at it like this. We are commanded all day long by the Most High. But when you hear commandments of God, for some reason you're getting to me, I could be wrong, but some people, let's just say not you, when they see commandments of God, they're so used to the Ten Commandments and the 613 Commandments or however what many it is, they keep wrapping it back under the old. I look at it like this. God never stopped commanding us. And we need faith in Jesus. The greatest commandment is for us to love. The Bible says all the commandments hang on that. Love thy neighbor with all the heart. Love the Lord thy God with all the heart, strength, and mind of thy neighbor. If you do that, and really, 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 really do that, you're going to keep all the commandments. Some kind of way, brother Michael, when you see commandments of God, keep the commandment, keep the commandment. You thinking we're saying something different. I don't understand that. I'm out.
Right, and I'm trying to highlight that. When you say, okay, that's what I wanted to mention in the first beginning of the show. Let's talk about the language. Apparently, there's a problem with our language, and I think that needs to be addressed. Do you brothers believe that it's a sin to not observe the Sabbath? Do you brothers believe that
do
it's
me a
favor.
Sin? Do me a favor, for clarity's sake. If you can't do it, say,
okay.
I don't want to do it, because this is your show. Let's not talk about four things, because everybody thinks the Israelites is only saying four things. Let's not talk about pork. Let's not talk about the Sabbath.
No, you can't do that.
The reason
we're
why.
We're talking about the law.
Let me just say this. I got you. We won't do it. But here's my argument.
Okay.
This is my argument.
But go ahead.
The reason why I picked those four is because I knew that would hit a hot spot. Not to mess with you, but I'm saying that is not all of God's commandments.
Nobody's saying that they are.
Every time we have this conversation, it comes up. And Sister Thel, in respect out of you and what you asked of us, I promise you I only brought that up because this is where a lot of people are at. When they see the words commandments of God, they think of just a few. Anytime
wrong.
The Father tells
not
you
true.
fast, repent to this brother, treat your wife right, to me, those commandments are equal to pork, Sabbath, feast days.
That's
now,
for him, everybody.
Let me ask Brother Michael a question. Are those commandments equal to you?
When you say equal, what do you mean? Is the morals are equal to the dietary?
I'm not even saying that. I'm saying if the Father says out of his mouth, the Holy Spirit says to you, don't eat pork on Monday, and on Tuesday he tells you to go repent to your wife, are they equal and what the Father want us to do? Does he want us to not do one more than the other?
I do not understand.
It's just a simple question, brother. If you tell your daughter
or your son, if you have any children.
These,
it's simple. It's way simple than that. It's where you going with it is like you can't stand to hear it. And you're coming up with all
No, I'm asking you a
we
simple
got a point
question,
number.
Brother Michael.
We got,
I'm asking you,
okay.
Are the commandments equal?
I did not interrupt y'all when y'all was going at it, man.
Okay, go ahead, but answer that eventually. I can wait. I'll be patient. Don't forget.
All right. Okay. All right. So anyway, y'all, these are the commandments, right? They was given to us, and as we can see from the beginning of the Bible, to the end of the Bible, you hear this phrase, keep the commandments. Keep the commandments, y'all. I got a whole list from beginning of the Bible to the end. I just read you the verse in Revelations, and it sparked what you just heard right now, right? But there's something that people don't want to hear. And it is just what it is. It needs to be talked about. I'm not just trying to, like what Sister Dale was saying, you go to arguing. But if we got different views, I sat down and listened to these brothers. I got a different view than them. But when it's time for me, now I got to be hit with questions and blah, 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 blah. I was wondering if anybody else sees that. All right? But anyway, man, what I would like to go ahead and just read some more of these scriptures to bring it home on what I'm saying. Let's go to Revelation 12:17. How about that one? Let's go to 3:17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, right? And went to make war with the remnant of her seed. This is a Pacific people, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ, right? The devil, y'all. The devil's after us. Hebrew Israelites. We're scattered abroad. He moves around like a roaring lion, devouring anybody he can. Now, what we're reading in this Bible is all about the body of Christ at the end of the day. But within that body, you got the people who the first covenant was established in there. And then you got people who was not in that first covenant. This is our body of Christ. We come together with Christ. We always need Christ. All right? And it'll be so much easier if I was talking to someone, that pretty much understand how they taught evangelized Jews. Because as I'm right now, I feel like I'm just kind of, I don't know. I'm doing my own stuff. I'm not a teacher, folks. I'm just a truck driver learning like everybody else. And what I, on my journey in learning, I understood almost immediately that how they evangelized in Jerusalem was different from the worldwide gospel. And for a reason. The people that's being evangelized in Jerusalem, they was under that old covenant, and they was rejecting Christ in the beginning. Right? So to them, they was wording it where the Jews understood. Right? Christ told them, go not into the Gentiles, go into the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Their mission was to hunt these Jews down. Let them know that the kingdom is at hand. Come on back home. Right? Need Christ in your heart. These are the commandments of God. They're forever, man. See what I'm saying? That's how they talk. And if once we get that concept in our mind, that this is how they taught, then I think we're able to understand this Bible better. Because Paul's gospel, he wasn't a respecter of persons, right? He didn't care if he was under that covenant or not. You can tell he was talking to King Herod, hoping to evangelize him. You name it. He'll tell the gospel to everybody. That was his mission. His mission, if when you look at the end of the Bible, y'all, the mixed multitude that came by Paul, there's going to be a mixed multitude. They will no longer be called Gentiles at the end. They're going to be right there with no more spiritual Jews. We all going to be Jews. That adoption, there's no adoption. We all going to become one people at the end in the kingdom of heaven. You know what I'm saying? That's how it ends. It's a, you can say it's an Israelite heaven, converting the world into being Israelite. Oh, in that heaven, there's 12 gates. 12 gates for every 12 tribes of Israel. So what gate the Gentiles going in, right? Well, during that time when Christ come back, he will put that in order on what gate they're going to go in. And once his thousand-year reign is up and the ones that resisted the devil as he get cast into the pit, they are going to be Jews with us. But for right now, to be in all our hearts, those under the, got the circumcision, those not, come on. Yeah. Y'all, this is really not as difficult as it seems to be. But as you can see, it's like a fundamental language that we're getting hung up on. And that's all I want to say on that for right now. I think we're about to get into this new covenant. Anybody got anything they want to say to that?
I would say, to your one point about resisting the devil, I don't think you can resist the devil without Christ. I just don't. Okay, I don't think you can resist the devil in your own strength. I don't think you can do it. That's like saying I could beat Michael Jordan on the basketball court. That's his domain. That's his area. I couldn't beat him. It don't matter how good I was. I couldn't beat Jordan. Jordan is legendary with that. That's the same way with Satan. We cannot defeat Satan on his territory without the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. We can't do it. You can't resist him. So I personally don't want to get into a back and forth with that. Because just for me, the scripture is clear. The commandments were written on tablets in the Old Testament, which were destroyed. Okay? Now, the new covenant brought about the commandments, if you will. I don't know if I even have convinced myself that the commandments are synonymous with the law. I'm not sure about that yet. Because I, again,
let me say this.
Hold on. Like I said in the beginning, I believe that the commandments were, for the most part, a moral blueprint for a believer, for somebody who follow after God. This is our moral compass, right? But now, I learned something though last year. As it relates to moral, I learned a new word along with that. I shared this before a while back. One is the definition of moral. The definition of moral is concerned about right and wrong. That's the definition of it, okay? That's the general definition of moral. Now, what I found out was there is another type of moral or morality, if you will, and it's called moral identity. Moral identity means what you believe is right and wrong. So we've moved from, and if you look real close, we've moved into that dimension in our everyday life, that we witness around us every day. It's no longer, we can no longer just be satisfied with the moral or the definition of morality. Now we've moved into this space of moral identity. It's, again, the definition of moral identity is what you personally believe is right and wrong. Remember, I said we witness this all day, every day. Something that's a big elephant in the room right now is homosexuality and transgender, right? So now we're in a debate about what a woman is and what a man is, what I believe a man is and what I believe a woman is. That's absurd, but that's where we live right now, which I believe we're right smack in the middle of what's called moral identity. So with that being said, what I recognize is is an identity crisis. We have to understand who we are as believers. We are no longer the believer who is under the hand of a priest or under the judgment of the purity of a go-between. We no longer, just think about it. We no longer have to have somebody to go to the throne for us. That's old covenant. That's the old covenant that the Lord decided was flawed, which is why he gave us his only begotten son and established a new covenant in the Holy Ghost.
Priscilla, I'd like to say something on that.
Go ahead.
Because we're saying new covenant, and that sounds like a big word or a big phrase, but it all goes back to the law and grace. It all goes back to the law and grace. We needed the law for a season because our forefathers were sinning. And the Father said he gave the law because of sin, you know. And so other words, it was people that really was trying to please the Father but didn't have knowledge of what sin was, and they was doing things. If you have knowledge of electricity, it still can kill you. Your heart was not to die, and it still can kill you. If you don't know what to eat, certain foods can kill you, and you love the Father. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I got just a little bit to say, and I'm going to back out. Galatians 5 and 14 says, for all the law all the law, whatever it is fulfilled or completed in one word. Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If I love my neighbor, and I truly love my neighbor, I am not going to be somewhere trying to sleep with my neighbor's wife. If I love my neighbor, truly love my neighbor, I'm not going to kill him. If I love my neighbor, I'm going to do some extra things that's not in the law. I'm going to want to talk to them more. I'm going to try to help them with their finances. I'm not going to charge usury. I'm going to create laws that's not even in the law. I'm going to do things to my neighbor that the Bible doesn't even say do, that my neighbor going to love me for, because I love my neighbor. That's why I believe it says all the law is fulfilled. And if you just go down to verse 19, excuse me, verse 18, it says, but if ye be led of the Spirit,
bam,
Galatians 5 and 18, but if ye be led of the Spirit, that's talking about what Paul was going through, where his inward man was craving the Father. That's being led of the Spirit. And if you led the Spirit, you're not under the law.
Damn, which is what
Galatians
I said.
Galatians 5 and 18. Last verse. Galatians 5 and 18. One more time. But if you be led of the Spirit, we have to find out what that means. I believe it was the Apostle Paul, what he was going through in Romans 7, where his inward man was after the Father, and his flesh was in the meantime acting up. He tells us in Romans 8, by the Spirit, mortify the deeds of the body. Body ain't saved. Last thing I'm going to say is about the Messiah. Here's the Messiah, and we're done. This is Christ. This is Christ. This is not Paul. Matthew 22, verse 40. On these two commandments hang all the law. See, I think we're making this very, very complicated. Kind of like Creflo Dollar, and I appreciate Brother Micah playing that. Creflo wasn't looking at the spirit behind tithing. It's not that we're going to stop giving. So it's too much great to feel like, oh, y'all trying to get out of doing something. No. No, the Bible says, as you've been prospered, give. See, so we ain't getting out of the 10%. Because some of y'all, it's going to be 50%. Some of y'all have really been prospered. It's going to be 80%. Nobody's getting out of the 10%. But some kind of way, when we say the word grace, oh, you ain't trying to obey, keep the law. No, it's, grace is better. Because you're going to be serving them from your heart. Or do you want to just give 10% grudgingly, but you gave the 10%, so according to the law, you're fine. Father's tired of that. And Brother Michael, when you said earlier, there's no more spiritual Jews in the kingdom, I disagree.
I disagree.
Could be wrong. You could be right. But if there's no spiritual Jews, Christ and the death and the blood is what brought in the Gentiles. That's how we're spiritually connected. If there's no spiritual Jew, how are we connected? We're back to the Gentiles and the law again. We need that blood. We need that lamb, Christ, to be sacrificed. He already was sacrificed. We'll become related in the spirit. The spirit can never go away, as we cannot go before the Most High. I'm out.
All right. Brothers and sisters that are listening, as you can see, man, we all lovers of Christ. We just got two different languages where something's happening. But as far as Matthew 22 and verse 40, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. All the law and the prophets. Love thy brother, man. With all your heart, your neighbor. Be kind to one another, man. All right? Don't kill your brother. Don't steal from him. Don't lust after his wife or sleep with his wife, man. This is the most important of all the commandments is what he's saying. This is what part of the main reasons why we fail from God in the first place. All the crime and fighting amongst us. Adultery and things of that nature. All right? We was the people that had more than one wife. All right? So there was a lot of, just by that saying that by itself, like that, you can kind of imagine what us Israelites, what we was doing. And how adultery, sleeping with another man's wife, was very common. Like we didn't fear God. And probably had a sheep in our backyard after we planned on doing what we're going to do. That's routine. We're going to give a sheep on the altar. Our hearts was not in it, not right. And that sacrifice was not accepted. We were dead to the law at that point. Christ redeemed us. We're all talking about Christ, everybody. And we're talking, when you talk about the kingdom of heaven, yeah, we got to say spiritual. Let's say we all going to, instead of the spiritual Jews, which we call in Gentiles spiritual Jews, but I guess us brothers in Israel, we could call ourselves spiritual Jews, you know, even though we literally are the Jews. But anyway, that's I don't want to get caught up on words. We're all going to become spiritual Jews here, okay? And let's say it like that, because we all agree we need Christ. We don't need to keep reminding each other that we need Christ, do we? We both agree on that. It's not like they're talking about we need Christ and I'm not, okay? So anyway, with that being said, y'all, yeah, Paul said a lot of things. And as you can see, we're taking some of the things and leaving on account that he's saying these things on his travels throughout modern-day Europe to this day. And he was evangelizing the world, and his speeches lived on. And they're in our scriptures, and right now we can reflect and see the genius and the intelligence of Apostle Paul. And when we look at prophecy on the end days, the mixed multitude that no man can number, we know that that came through Paul's message. Because Christ gave the Jews, the Israelites, our forefathers, a mission of their own. That's to get back the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So you know, Israel that's scattered abroad, them coming into the Christ, pretty much they came back into the fold. It's going to be 144,000, 12,000 from each tribe. And yes, we're keeping the commandments, and we have Christ. All right? All right. So giving much respect to the spiritual Jews, and we also going to give respect to our brothers that's of the blood. The bloodline, all with Christ, y'all. Every one of them. Spiritual Jews don't have more Christ than the other one, and the other one don't have more Christ than the spiritual Jew. These brothers, they're teachers, and they really want to follow Paul's footprint in evangelizing the world. So not only is they talking to Brother Micah, Israel, but they're speaking to Billy, too. I myself am not directing my message to Billy. And I am waking up Israel. My message is what Christ said to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and tell them that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But I'm not a teacher, y'all. I'm just my walk and what I see. I'm not trying to walk Paul's footprints and evangelize the world on my show. Okay? I'm trying to get Israel to wake up out of their sleep and come back home. Israel. All right. I acknowledge our brothers and sisters around the world that believe in Christ. In Christ, like these brothers were saying, spiritually, we're all brothers and sisters, right? And they're welcome to come to my show and ask questions and talk about, read scriptures with us. My show is not blocking them out of it. But I want, when they come to my show, I want them to know that this is an ongoing 2023. This mission is still ongoing. Israel is still asleep, y'all. And y'all want to be on board and waking us up? Come on along. But I will
Brother
suggest
Cameron,
if they're go ahead.
First of
go
all,
ahead,
I want to say this. I almost compliment you on your behavior right now. We all are behaving good, bad, and different. That's just what we're doing. We're on the show, and all of us are. I appreciate you. Let me say it another way. I appreciate the passion, especially if you feel what you're saying is of the Most High Yah. I applaud you. I'm not just saying it. Do what you do. All I ask as a brother to brother is be honest with yourself. You've seen a lot of scriptures saying we are not under the law. If you keep saying we're under the law and the scriptures are saying we're not under the law, you're just going to have to throw away Paul. Quit playing with him. I mean, this we all grown-ups. And hear me out. Please hear me out. Just like you're passionate, this is what I feel. And I'm going to say it even lower and softer, and I'm putting love on it, and it's real love. To those of you listening, you see those scriptures we just shared, and you still thinking we're under the law, that means Paul is preaching a wrong doctrine. I'm not playing with it. I'm very, 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 very serious. Paul could be teaching error because he is clearly, clearly saying we are not under the law. To everybody, there is no, I hear you saying, let me just say this real quick. I hear you saying, you say it over and over and over and over. Just because, this is me saying this, just because Apostle Paul is talking to the Gentiles, you cannot say we're under the law and they're not under the law. Because if we are under the law, if Israel is under the law, then Israel is in their sin. There's not a problem with that. We just need Christ to come back and die for us. Since he don't want to die for the Gentiles, and they're now placed in Christ, and their sins is now blotted out, and they're one, they can come, so they're a body of Christ. They're all one. Now we got to become a body of Christ. So Christ got to come back down, die. Y'all got to put us in Christ this second time, and then we'll be another body of Christ. Christ got to come on back down. Because we under the law. We under sin. This is not confusing to me. I'm not saying I know it all. I'm not saying I know it all. Brother Ken wouldn't know all kinds of things I don't know. But this right here, I am not confused on. Apostle Paul, it's just like he said, he was a master teacher. And he's just making it clear. When Peter and them come along and they talk about sin, they're talking about sin with the body. We cannot be the body of Christ. We cannot be Christ and still be sin. Christ was a lamb. He died. He offered up. The Bible says, behold the Lamb of God, John the Baptist, who's not Peter, who's not Paul, and I'm finishing up here. John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And Christ came and did just that. What sins is taken away? And how can sins be taken away if we're still under the law? Where there is law, there is sin. Saul, the law is the introduction of sin. It's not like we're under the law and we need Christ too. There's two different covenants.
You can't mix those covenants. So I say to Israel, I hear you when you say I'm called to Israel. And you say we're called everybody. Well, you're kind of right. Fire, smooth stones, I am speaking the gospel because, Brother Michael, with Israel, it was called to win all the nations. Now, you can say, I'm just focused on Israel. I understand. Maybe the Father gave you that mandate. I can't touch that. I can't touch that. That's not my business. But Israel was called to reach all nations. And what gospel are they going to take to them? We preach them Christ. Be ye born again. Born again means let's put you in the spirit of Christ like we are. According to the flesh, we Israel, yes. There's a covenant upon us, an everlasting covenant, that Christ will come and our seed will be as the stars. So become a part of those stars. We all one now in Christ, except this Christ. This message to the Gentiles, I know there's maybe some things, but we got to quit thinking because it's addressed to Gentiles. None of it relates to us. No, we're in Christ. We keep commandments, whatever he tell us, though. All of it's equal. Last thing I'm going to say. Great show. Last thing I'm going to say. They was asking Christ, when I read that verse a minute ago, which one of the laws is the most, the greatest? Now, this is time for Christ to really spell it out, the laws. This man, incarnate Christ, this Messiah says, on these two commandments, hang all the law. I'm not going to play with that. If they hang on it, all the law and the prophets.
Yeah, all the laws hang on there. All the laws hang on it. You're going to do all the laws hang on that, brother. I think you're understanding that he's just saying that there's only two commandments or something. All the laws hang around those
last
two.
Last thing I say, real quick. In less than 10 seconds. In 10 seconds, one, literally, brother, what I'm saying is if you do those two things and don't play around and really do those two things, you will not offend in any area of the law. Yes, I believe what it says. All the commandments hang on it. Absolutely.
You keep the law.
In other words, they're covered. In other words, everything is covered.
If they love their neighbor as themselves, what are they going to do to their neighbor if they love their neighbor as themselves? And if they love the Most High with all their heart, soul, and mind, which that's very few people, well, tell me what they're going to do that's going to break the law. That's what I want to know.
No, what was the question again, man? What was the question? I was looking up scriptures. What's the question? You're breaking up, brother. You're breaking up.
You're breaking up bad, man.
You're choppy. You're choppy.
Hold on. Hold on. Okay. Let's slow it down. If a person love the Lord thy God with all their heart, soul, and mind, and love their neighbor as though it's themselves, what commandment are they going to break?
What commandment? They are the most important commandments of them all. That's our moral law.
That ain't what I ask you. That's not what I ask you. Tell me.
What commandment can they break? If they're loving their brother, they didn't break it.
I know.
They loving their brother. I don't understand.
The reason why you're struggling with that, brother Micah, is because they won't break.
I'm looking at the scripture differently than you.
Hear me out. It's not. You keep acting like there's a big difference. I think there's some rebellion here, to be honest. You just maybe not want to see it. Now, hear me out. I'm very serious. You can, I'm just being honest. We boys. And I hear Sister Thel in my mind saying, y'all talking to everybody, brothers and sisters, I'm so thankful to Brother Michael for this show tonight. All I'm asking is we be honest with ourselves. We're not that different.
Yeah.
Are you hearing?
Okay.
We're not that different. Let me finish. Less than 20 seconds. And this is the last thing I'm saying for tonight. Because there's nothing else to say,
man.
For me. No, I'm not upset or nothing. I'm just saying.
I can say
I really
the same
don't have
thing.
To say.
We've both been saying the same
20,
thing. I can shut down, too.
Hold on. 20 seconds. 20 seconds. I'm done. I'm really, really done. Not with an attitude, but I really don't have enough to say. I don't see the big difference that you keep saying. I just think you don't, it's like you don't want it to be. We gave you every scripture showing you're not under, hold on, brother Michael, just 20 seconds. I'm done.
Okay,
after this, you can talk 20 minutes, and I'm not going to say nothing else. Because it's your show. I'm going to let you have the last word. I'm not saying anything else. I believe in my heart we're not different at all. We've answered the question, whether or not we're under the law. We can't be under the same covenant. We've answered it. I just believe, just like right then, I asked you that question. If you love the Most High with all your heart, soul, and mind, really, really love the Most High, and then you love your neighbor as if they, your very self, what law would you break? You couldn't answer that because the answer is none of the law. So it's true, just like verse 40 says, on these two commandments hang all the law. In other words, if you do this, you will complete all the law. I'm out.
Okay, well, that's what I kept trying to tell us, brother, is that we're looking at this scripture way different. We're looking at there's only two laws now we got to keep. I guess that's what is it just me that interprets that way, y'all? Is there anybody out there in the radio world you're chopping up, brother Thel? But I'm talking right now anyway, though. He said this. He's asked me, what law is they breaking?
He
gave me the floor. He asked the question that if two neighbors were loving each other like they love each other, you know, like they're supposed to, and God put it right there. He asked me, what law is they breaking?
Hold on, for the record, help me. If you don't help me,
Seth, you're breaking up bad. You're breaking up bad.
Hold on, man. If you're gonna quote me, I said I'm not saying anything else, but don't misquote me. I ask you a question, and we're all waiting for you to answer. If you love the Lord, or the heart, soul, and mind, and you love your neighbor just as though it's yourself, what law would you break? If you don't think all of them hang on the commandments, I got you. So what law would they break if you did those two things? Please answer that.
If you did just those two things, but you ate pork? Is that what you're saying? But you still love
your neighbor.
I just said. But you ate pork?
If you love the Lord thy God with all your heart.
Hold on, let me respond. Let me respond. If you love God with all your heart, right, and you love your neighbor like you love yourself, then is not your question is what law is they breaking? Is that what you're
saying?
I think that's what you were saying.
Last time, and I hope you get it because if you don't get it.
Wait. Hold on, Seth.
I'm really done.
Hold on, Seth.
Go ahead, Seth.
Based on the scripture. The scripture says these are the most important commandments.
on every other commandment, law, moral idea hangs right here on these two right here. In other words, it's saying if you can adhere to these two right here, then everything else will be covered. Everything else is settled in heaven.
What does
everything
the
else is settled? If I can nail these two down right here, everything else is settled in heaven. Period. So he's saying, if I nail these two down, like the scripture says, then what law would I be breaking? That's what he's saying. I think that's where the confusion is coming in. You're not seeing that the scripture says that all the laws and prophets hang on this right here. In other words, all this, these two right here, man, if I get these two right here, I don't need nothing else. Just like the songwriter said, as long as I got King Jesus, I don't need nobody else. Scripture is saying, and that's the way you're not understanding that scripture. But that's exactly what that scripture is saying. That scripture is saying, if I can nail down these two right here, then everything else is covered.
Okay. Gotcha,
church is
gotcha,
out,
bro.
Preacher gone home. I can lock it down.
Isaiah 66, yo, verse 15. For behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in a garden behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh, and the abomination and the mouth shall be consumed together, saith the Lord. Can y'all tell me what this is saying?
First of all, you're under the old covenant.
Isaiah's
number
old
one.
Yep. I'm
now,
just about to say that.
That don't mean it's no good or nothing like that. I'm not out of that camp. I don't believe that. But Christ has come. You cannot discount Christ, humanity being put in Christ. You keep mentioning scriptures in the Old Testament, God is wanting to kill us. I keep talking about how we're in Christ and that he's given us righteousness. Now, that is two different messages. You're right if Christ hadn't come. He's angry, want to kill us. He already did, put us in slaves, yes, hold down your yard. My point is this, brother. Brother Michael, I've poured out everything I have. I don't think I can do no more on this topic. We're in Christ. Our sins have been taken away. John the Baptist didn't lie. Behold the Lamb of God. So he ain't trying to kill us. I'm not preaching that. He ain't mad at us.
Right.
Israel, now it's the whole world. Now there is a little difference with Israel. This is where you and I kind of see a little bit. Now, the certain things what happened to the nation of Israel. I believe we've served in 400 years. And I believe even in our captivity, all of Israel ain't going to be going through no curses if they accept Christ and believe, have faith in his righteousness and not their own. They'll be blessed, even though the nation of Israel has to fulfill those prophecies. So all I'm saying is this, man. I thank the Father. I'm going to wrap this up, my portion, by saying I thank the Father.
I love him and I thank him for grace in placing us in Christ. Our flesh is not where it's at. The law introduced sin, and it tried. It tried to give us righteousness, but Christ had to run that last leg, and I'm so thankful righteousness has been given. It has been given and has been given. The Arabic, I never read this translation before in my entire life. I just saw it. Arabic, Bible, and plain English. On these two commands depend all the law, all the written law and prophets. One more time. They're Arabic. Bible says, on these two commands depend all the written law and the prophets. They're not the law like you said. You're right. They're not talking about pork. They're not talking about all this other stuff. You're right. But those two, all of them depend on those two. I'm out.
Okay. Well, you heard it there, folks. It's one of those topics, man. I'm kind of like them, man. I've been saying the same thing. They've been trying to tell me all. I mean, I saying where they're coming from, but I think they're lacking where I'm coming from. I totally understand where they're coming from. They're talking about this worldwide gospel, y'all. But I don't think that worldwide gospel is over Israel's gospel. I don't. I think they both can go hand in hand. There's a lot of things us Israel can get out of knowing more about the spiritual, fight, about how much we need Christ. We can't get enough of hearing more about Christ and what he did for us. All right. Today, I wanted to kind of get into someone outside of Paul's epistles and going into how they teach down there, you know. See the similarities. See what's a little bit that's different. See the wording that's being used. Because after all, these are all the ones on that mission going doing what Christ said, going to get the lost sheep of the house of Israel. See the wording that they use to evangelize the Jews. Because I guarantee you, Paul was not in Jerusalem evangelizing Jews. Not with those wording, y'all. He was not. He was not. All right. There's a difference there, and I can't say it enough, but I understand their point of view. They kind of hear mine, but I think they're saying this is the Bible, but they're saying their point of view. I don't think they're quite looking at it my way. They're saying it is circumcision, uncircumcised. They're together. This is the body of Christ. Like it or not, we're here in this body with you. Okay, we are Israel here, and is with you. You spiritual and all that. That's cool. Well, we over here with ours over here. Okay, that's the body of Christ. And that scripture I just read is when the day when Christ returns. He just killed a man. Killed a man and then named what the food he was eating. Isn't that not scary? If you subscribe, that it's okay. Isn't that scary to you? My show's Waking Up Israel. I'm talking to Israelites. Isn't that scary? Anyway, Paul is an apostle and a great apostle, like he said. I really dig him.
Tuning into the Five Cent Soul Network. The show is going to end here shortly. Brother Kingwin has forgot the track of time. So I want to thank you for tuning in. I didn't want it to hang up without me saying goodbye to everybody. Hopefully I was blessed by what you've heard, okay? Thank you. We'll see you on Tuesday night. God bless.
Okay. Well, there you have it, everybody. Brother Duff has left the building. Go and end that with him. So I guess that's the show, y'all. He left. Brother Purcell, thanks for coming in. It is the end of the show. We're wrapping things up. Thank you, brother. Any last words, brother?
My pleasure.
Man, I love you, man, with the love of the Lord. I love the program. I love the dialect. I love the conversation. I love the Lord. I love the Word of God. And I love the people of God. And again, it's your boy, the Ambassador Purcell and Del Porche, all the way out here in Cincinnati, Ohio, representing Salt Life Kingdom Ministries, where, again, we believe in bringing the saltiness back to the believer through rightly dividing the word of truth and kingdom principles. I love you, every single one of you. Good to hear from you again, Sister Thale. I look forward to speaking with you all on next week. Again, I love you all, every single one of you, and it's not a thing you can do about it, and we look forward to next week. If you can, tune in on Instagram on Wednesdays, 6 o'clock Eastern time. Instagram, my page is Ministries Salt Life. Ministries Salt Life. We go forth at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern time every Wednesday on Instagram. So if you get an opportunity, shoot on out there and hear what thus saith the Lord. Again, and I love you guys. Look forward to next week.
All right. Shalom, shalom, brother.
Shalom, my shalom. Brother.
All right, y'all, that's that. Sister Thale, I'm going to just wrap it up just like that, y'all. Let's see. What song describes this conversation? Okay? What song should I play that describes this this conversation here? Let's go with play Sorrow. No, let's play Signs of the Times, right? These are the signs of the times.
Signs of the times, revelations open your mind, hear the trumpets blowing, hear the trumpet shalom to my Akhenatis, be at peace, we gon' soon be set free, hey, told the Abba, you're all my doctor, if I be, then my soul prosper, strengthen my posture, deliver me from wicked imposters, yep. Put my body under subjection, that's carnal lockup, tend to the soil, good seeds that should have blossomed, really, nourish it with water from Abba, he sees the outcome,
true,
pay no mind to the foolish, they playing possum, put away childish behavior, come off colostrum.
Damn.
Flee from the lust of the flesh, remember Sodom. Pay no mind to commandments, that's rock bottom. Generation lost, my Abba restored your value. Take heed, the earth moves on with or without you. Vanity belongs on the hills, what it amounts to. My people touching all four corners, we coming out soon.
Really?
Store up good works towards them, he would announce you. Babylon is falling, young Aki, just look around you. Hey,
you can see the signs of the times. Revelations open your mind. You hear the trumpets blowing. Shalom to my Aki.
Girded with spiritual armor, you know that the battles are far from within. To keep those things from coming to the surface, which is reflection.
I read, hey. Peace, love, and light. I speak that in the spiritual, manifest in the physical. Insight, biblical, salvation is critical. Can't believe in God, not his word is hypocritical. Don't let the devil get to you, don't accept what he offer you. He gon' try to purchase you, but let him know your treasure stored in heaven, get behind you. He know who's beside you, the gates of heaven open, and I just want you to walk through. Self-evaluation is a must. Plus, you gotta fight the demons and the lust. Plus, we at the end time, don't fall now. At first you didn't know, but now you know now. In the book of life, I hope it ain't written. Trying to do what I gotta do to get it. The hell with this world, I do not visit. Gotta watch myself, can't keep slipping. In the book of life, I hope it ain't written. Trying to do what I gotta do to get it. The hell with this world, I do not visit. Gotta watch myself, can't keep slipping.
Revelations open your mind. You hear the trumpets blowing. Shalom to my Akhenatis.
I know we need to count it all joy when we
fall into various trials, knowing that proving of your belief works endurance. Hallelujah.
Forgive me, Abba Yahuwah, my ways were reckless.
Yeah.
Shameful before you, my praise is a broken record.
Dang.
Repent for my sins, inequity, transgression. Selfish and ways of a man hinder his blessing.
Truly.
Figure through the lessons we learn to give him reverence.
Mm.
Speak to myself in the process, relate a message.
Yep.
Looking at the youth and it seems like they got a death wish.
Dang.
Pray for your humble and Aki to give you leverage.
Leverage.
And so we press on, I move into greater cause. Count on his laws, instructions, and break your fault.
Yep.
Birth pain, similar woman with menopause.
Dang.
Matthew 24:8 explains it all. And
really.
None of all gone but the clean, don't make me start. Search me, I'll refine my inner parts.
Yeah.
Blindfolded faces like a shot in the dark.
Yeah.
3 second answer is homie, nigga, just park. And I hope this introduction will cause you to switch lanes. Enmity with Abba is mutual exchange.
Yeah.
So I pray for my people you call to maintain. Obedience to your Abba will earn you his latter reign.
You can see the signs of the time.